This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Alonzo, and you. Good to have you. Final hour of the show. Got a lot to cover over these final 53-ish minutes or so as we wrap up the radio broadcast. The Bill Belichick thing, I am not going to talk about Bill's girlfriend. Relax. Although I did see over the weekend that apparently there's a okay, I am going to talk about it for like 2 seconds. Apparently there is a hilarious story that is brewing right now, in that over the past couple of weeks, his girlfriend Jennifer Hudson has been is that right? No, that's not right. What's his girl? I've already forgotten her name, which I guess is good.
It's not Jennifer Hudson unless something's changed. So, I mean, you know, I mean, Bill Jordan, might get around.
Jordan Hudson.
Okay.
Jordan, yeah, Jennifer Hudson's a very different person. I would actually like to hear that conversation. But Jordan Hudson apparently has been telling people that despite any confirmation, none of which is owed, by the way, just so we're very clear, Jordan Hudson, despite any confirmation from Hoodie or his camp, which I guess technically is her now, that this is true, has been telling people that they are engaged. And Hoodie has a yacht, and Hoodie's yacht has a name. Hoodie's yacht is named Six Rings, because obviously he's got six Super Bowl rings. And every time that Hoodie won a Super Bowl, the name of the boat would change to reflect the current number of rings that Hoodie has. Well, apparently, someone noticed last week that Hoodie has now changed the name of his boat to Seven Rings, which, of course, he only has six Super Bowl rings. So do the math on that.
Hey, good for him. Don't let people keep you down. If that's what you want,
hey, man,
Bill, go for it, dude.
Two consenting adults should be allowed to do whatever two consenting adults wish to do. It is not my life nor my business. As I have mentioned a number of times, this story about the Hoodie is not about his personal relationship with Jordan Hudson. It is about the football team. It is about North Carolina. Come on and raise up. So, why is this being discussed again? Why is this back in the news? The answer is because last week, former North Carolina football coach, former national championship winner at the University of Texas, Mack Brown, did a podcast appearance on one of the ESPN podcasts, and Mack got into a range of conversations. We actually talked about one of them on the show when Mack Brown offered a solution, if you feel it is necessary, to fixing college football. Well, Mack Brown, because of course, if you're going to have Mack Brown on after what happened, his departure at UNC, which was, and I'm air quoting this so hard I'm going to sprain a finger, voluntary, which of course was UNC going, hey, Mack, listen, we're going to move on, but if you would like to keep your reputation, you can say that you're stepping aside. Otherwise, we have to say we've terminated you. It's your call. So Mack Brown stepped aside. He was asked about the possibility of the Hoodie to succeed at UNC when he was not able to. Of course, we talked about the fact that under Mac Brown, they had a couple of players there at North Carolina. They had Drake May come through, who would, of course, go on to become a first-round draft pick for the New England Patriots, and apparently better than I thought he was going to be. We'll find out in year two now that there's some tape out there. They had Omarion Hampton, who is my favorite first-round pick that nobody talked about going into this draft. I think this kid is going to be an absolute stud. I think Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers backdoored their way into a guy that might very well go on to be the surprise crown jewel of the running back class. To be honest, we all know what Ashton Jante is going to be, or at least we think we do. I think Omarion Hampton is going to be right there in the mix with Ashton Jante as a, oh, this dude could theoretically change the future of a franchise. But despite the players, Mac Brown was unable to elevate UNC to the heights that UNC had hoped to be elevated to when they hired Mac to come re-take over their football program. So Mac got asked, how do you feel about the Hoodies' chances of success at Chapel Hill, North Carolina? And Mac said the following. So a couple of things out of that commentary from former North Carolina coach Mac Brown that stood out at me. The first one that jumped out to me was the little one-line throwaway there about Omarion Hampton, who, of course, was the star running back. And what success they did have last year was largely the reason for that success. He said that Omarion Hampton had opportunities to transfer for millions of dollars to the point that Mac Brown said, again, take what is said here with a grain of salt, though I do think at this point, Mac Brown, unless he just is furious with North Carolina for the way that his time in Chapel Hill Volume 2.0 went, unless he just hates North Carolina, I don't really see any reason that Mac Brown will be telling any fibs here. Mac Brown said, hey, Omarion Hampton had a chance to transfer for millions of dollars in NIL money, so much money that I told him, yeah, dude, you got to go. You got to go. You can make generational wealth playing college football at another school because we can't match that here at Chapel Hill. You got to go. And yet you will notice, and I can statistically prove this, Omarion Hampton did play his football for the University of North Carolina last year. You know how I've been saying since the introduction of name, image, and likeness that if you don't want kids for whom the money is the primary concern, then don't recruit kids for whom the primary money is the primary concern. Here is Exhibit 1A. Omarion Hampton wanted to be a heel. He made no secret. Tar, not wrestling. He wanted to be a heel of the tar variety, not the wrestling variety. They brought him to Chapel Hill. They made him a heel. They gave him as much money to be a heel as they could muster up. And when other schools came a-calling with offers in the 6+0 range for the services of Omarion Hampton, he said, nope. I want to be a heels. I'm going to stay a heels. There will be no turn for me. I'm locked in. Just recruit those kids. That's kind of what I've been screaming at you, but we'll put that aside. The other thing that Mac Brown said, with, by the way, not even a drop of irony, and I understand, I do think Mac Brown is very, very proud to be associated with the North Carolina Tar Heel football program. Not a drop of irony about North Carolina easing academic restrictions on their football players to make it easier to play, considering the UNC classes, controversy from a few years ago. I find that hilarious. You'll remember the academic athletic scandal which stemmed from irregularities in a number of classes that football players were taking, including numerous independent study courses that did not have proper adherence to university procedures and zero to very little faculty oversight. Effectively, they allowed football players to take classes that weren't classes, were not supervised as classes, basically just had football players not do anything and label them as taking classes. So for them to say they are easing academic restrictions is, what's the word I'm looking for here? Hilariously ironic.
So what college football players have done throughout time.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. It's just that if you do the thing that everybody else is doing, but you're the school, entity that gets caught doing the thing, yes, everybody's going to make fun of you, even if you, even if it is well known that you've done the thing. You're going to get busted up on, right? So anyway, by the way, that that academic controversy at UNC was dated 15 years North Carolina had been allowing athletes to take classes that weren't classes with teachers who weren't teachers and professors who weren't professors. Blah, blah, blah. Put that to the side. Max says UNC has gone out of their way to make it possible for Bill Belichick to succeed, up to and including easing the academic requirements of students. Max says, when we recruited, we had to recruit a couple of criteria. First off, we had to try to recruit parents, kids of parents who had money. This is one of those times that when we say there are socioeconomic realities in the world that may be uncomfortable and it's sometimes even controversial to discuss, they are still real. If Mac Brown is telling the truth, this is one of those times. If you wanted to go play football at North Carolina, Mac Brown has just said it was easier for us to get you in there and on the radar if we knew that mom and dad had some money. Because if mom and dad had some money, it was more likely they would put that money into the program. Whether it was to the booster or the NIL collective or whatever, we tried to get kids who came from financially wealthy backgrounds. The second thing is, he said, we tried to recruit kids who had a 3.0 grade average or better. So it is, I think, a fair guess to assume that the academic requirements at UNC are likely dropped to like a 2.75, maybe a 2.5, means you don't really have to be a B-plus student anymore. You can be an average C student, and North Carolina will now take you to their rigorous academic institution. I say all of that to say this. I am now even more interested. I was already interested to see what this year, year one, although I would be willing to wait until year two to pass judgment. I do not think that, I don't really think we wait for year three to pass judgment on college coaches anymore, right? It used to be you waited until year three. Year three was the first year that you knew that their guys that they recruited and brought in were going to be the primary guys on the roster. So year three was when you got a real indication to, does their culture, does their recruiting philosophy work, and can they take their guys, put them into the field, and execute and succeed? Now I think it's year two. I think you get, especially when you come in during the offseason, you get 1 year to work the portal. You get 1 year to work NIL and get your fan base excited and put money into the program. You get 1 year to take the majority of kids off of the last guy's roster and either get them to transfer out or to ingratiate them into your school, your team, your program, whatever. I was already interested because I've said a couple of times, if the hoodie shows up and the hoodie running the North Carolina football program like an NFL team, assuming that's what he's going to do, And I think we've got a pretty good indication already that's what he's going to do. If the hoodie shows up and he runs a college football program like an NFL team, and if that college football program succeeds, and again, I think it is fair to call our shot now. What do we consider successful or unsuccessful? What is the ceiling? What is the floor of realistic and reasonable expectations? We have already once, we won't spend an entire segment doing it, but we've looked at the UNC football schedule for 2025. TCU at Charlotte, Richmond at UCF, Clemson at the crib, at Cal, back home for Virginia, at Syracuse, back for Stanford, away at Wake, back for Duke at UNC. This is really interesting, great one. UNC has zero consecutive home or away games. Every week it alternates home away, home away, home away, home away, home away, all the way through their regular season schedule. I think it is fair with the TCU, Charlotte, Richmond, etc. I think it is fair to say a 7-5 season is a baseline expectation for North Carolina under Bill Belichick. With the amount of money that has come in, with the easing of academic restrictions, assuming Mac Brown is telling the truth, with the money that is going to come in just from people, much like when Coach Prime got to Colorado, being super hyped about a, fair not to use the word, celebrity head coach. I think a 7-5 season is in the ACC this year is a reasonable expectation. If they reach that mark or surpass it, then I would not be shocked to see a lot of college programs moving forward start to look to the NFL ranks for their next head coach. Come down and run our semi-professional football club like a full-fledged NFL team, and we will pay you well in favor of doing it. But if the hoodie fails to make those marks after UNC has eased, again, according to Mac Brown, their restrictions on getting UNC football players, maybe that philosophy dies in year one.
See, that's the thing. I think it's interesting if it's successful or if it fails. If it's somewhere in the middle, then we'll have to play a waiting game.
I think so. I think that's part of the reason.
And more than likely, it's going to be somewhere in the middle.
Unless it is just an unmitigated disaster. If they go 2-10, and again, this is an NIL transfer portal era. It wouldn't have been this way in 2002. But in this era, if they go way below expectations, if they go 2-10, then I think we go, this is not going to work. At least not under Hoodie, this is not going to work. If they go 10-2, I think a lot of teams start clamoring to go get old NFL coaches and bring them out of retirement, or maybe even start, poaching coordinators of the NFL to come down and run the team.
All right, take the middle out of it. Which is more likely to you, in your opinion, than going 10-2 or 2-10?
2-10. 2-10. I've already told you, I think this is going to be an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's going to be vying for the ACC championship. So we'll see.
We will see. As Lonzo said, and I agree with this 93% of the time, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. We will probably end this year without, much like we did with Deion, without a definitive, this is good or this is bad. This is working or this is not working. I think it's probably going to take 2 years to figure it out. But Mac Brown is now on the record saying, North Carolina has eased their restrictions for football players to help Bill succeed, which to me means he's got even less time to prove himself. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, is here on the... I was going to say hurrah. The Rob Brown Show is live.
We up in her.
I'm telling you, man. All right, so we've talked about the college football changes. We know that the college football playoff is going to a straight seeding format. The top 12 seeds, including the four top college football conference champions, will be seeded 1 through 12 according to their rank. The four highest rated conference champions will still be guaranteed a bid, but will not be guaranteed a top four seed in the bye. If you are one of the top four conference champions, but you finish slotted seventh, you will be the seventh seed. You will catch whatever matchup that ends up getting you in a 12-team playoff. What is that, five? Whatever it is. That is how, or six. That is how it will shape up. Dan Patrick last week called the shot. He did a segment live on his show where he was talking about some of the tidbits, news, and information he was getting about the direction of college football. I want to play you that clip, and then we will all react to it. That according to his source. That is Dan Patrick. I will say that over his years as a broadcast personality and as a, if nothing else, as a radio show host, Zoe, has Dan Patrick earned the benefit of the doubt from us that he is not a story maker upper?
Yeah, if Dan says he has a source, I believe he has a source.
Yeah. There are plenty of, and I mean, when I say high, I mean at the highest level, plenty of broadcasters that if they drop something like that, I am immediately skeptical of their scruples. That is to say, I think that there are, as I have worked with a few of them, people on the national scale that are more than willing to make up sources and make up stories in order to go viral or trend or whatever. I have bumped heads multiple times with people at different levels of this industry by asking them to show their work or STFU, all right? Show your work or I've got no reason to believe what you have to say. Dan Patrick is on a short list of guys at the top level that if he says, my source says, I will take him at his word that he does have a source, that someone within the game is giving him some information. And again, I will acknowledge that first off, that soundbite did come before the news that we would go straight seeding. So he says, at the very beginning of that clip, my source says you can go ahead and expect straight seeding in the landscape of college football. But I would also say that we had a pretty good inclination that that was what was going to happen anyway. I don't think that necessarily caught anybody by surprise. So while I am not accusing Dano of this, I have no doubt that there were a number of hosts around the country who on Thursday and Friday of last week said, oh, my source says we are going straight seeding because, hey, that's what the smoke in the air said was going to happen. And if you say the thing most likely to happen is going to happen and claim that you had inside sources telling you that the most likely outcome was going to happen, it's tough for people to push back and go, you didn't have a source, dude. That was just the common knowledge. You can go, no, I did have a source. You know, I wouldn't have said it, even if it was widely believed that. Blah, blah, blah. Put all that to the side. That's just Rob being bitter. He goes on to say that he expects, his source does, that we will see a 16-team playoff next season. There was a thought that we would likely see a 12-team playoff that would run through the end of the current TV rights deal with the four letter that would keep it as a 12-team playoff moving forward, and that 16 would be sometime off in the distance. Now, according to Dano, it looks like next year will be the year that we will see the 16-team expansion, which comes as zero shock to me. Why would it? I don't know why anybody would be shocked by this. Not that there are many people. I think there are a few people that are expressing shock that this, oh my goodness, happened so quickly. It didn't. It didn't. The TV ratings last year for the 12-team playoff, from the opening round all the way to the natty, the ratings were through the bleeping roof. And if the ratings are through the bleeping roof, that means that there are going to be television advertisers that are willing to pay out of the bleeping wazoo to get their product in front of an audience that is through the bleeping roof, and to do so as often as possible. Well, by going to 16 teams, what are you adding? You are adding two more games in the opening round. You're just adding games. This isn't, just so we're clear, because this is a running theme on today's show. College football, at least in the way that it presents itself to us, the fans, is not about making decisions to enhance or maximize the enjoyment and pleasure of college football fans. College football decisions are made exclusively to have more money go in the bottom line. There is the old expression in business that if you are not growing, you are failing. If you are not figuring out ways to make more money, then you are losing money. I will say that I think college football is more apt to make a decision to enhance the bottom line if it is a decision that they can get in front of a television camera and they can feed us as fans all red meat by saying, oh, we're doing this for you. We're doing this for you, the fan, which they get to do here because they get to say, well, with this decision to expand the college football playoff, what we are really trying to do is make sure that more teams have more opportunities to show that they belong. More teams have the ability to have an oopsie-daisy somewhere in the regular season that does not cost them an opportunity to call themselves the best in the game. And when we talk about this quote from Greg Sankey that we got to earlier in the show, Greg Sankey and the SEC folks are meeting down in my old stomping ground of Destin, Florida right now for the SEC spring meetings. They will meet again in just a few weeks in Atlanta, Georgia for SEC Media Days. Again, we are working right now on getting the two shows over to Atlanta for SEC Media Days. I'll let you know if and when we get that confirmed and panned out. Fingers crossed. But Sankey said to assembled media at the SEC spring meetings over the weekend that the SEC is not committed to any one particular playoff format yet. There is only one reason he would say that, and I don't fault him for it. The reason why is because if you say we are happy with the 4-4-2-2-1-1-3 model, that is the predicted model right now that the college football playoffs will follow when the expansion takes place. That is Greg saying, we're good with four automatic qualifiers for the SEC. We don't need any more. Versus taking the shot, because as the old expression goes, what's the worst they can say? No. Of the next time the CFP meets, after the 16-team expansion is approved, and according to Dan O'Patrick, it will be. If he doesn't commit to anything now, he can go into those meetings and go, hey, yo, we would like five. You gave us four. That's great, but we got the gold. Therefore, we make the rules. We want five. Make it a 5-5-1-1-1. Take two of the at-larges, give one to the Big Ten, one to the SEC. Everybody else can fight for one. And the thing is, with all the money and power, he might have the ability to pull that off. So you don't agree to a damn thing now so that you have negotiating leverage when that comes around. That's all this is about. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the live stream, Kane said, can we just skip the next couple of months and go straight into football season? Ladies and gentlemen, dudes and dudettes, Rob Brown's a football guy. You know that. I'm a football guy. I know ball. I love ball. I'm a football guy. The answer, Kane, lovingly and respectfully, is not just no, but hell no. Because the NBA playoffs are great. Right? I mean, great right now. Last night, the Thunder take a 3-1 series lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were going into that game, they were minus 1,200 to win that series. The Timberwolves were like plus 790 to win the series. So as sports wagertainment is legal in the great state of Florida, Rob Brown did indeed drop a little dime. Not much, just a little beer money bet on the Timberwolves to win that series at plus 750. Because if they won last night with a game at the crib upcoming, that was a good shot. The NBA playoffs are fantastic.
Very, very disappointed that New York came back and won a game.
New York did come back.
Yeah, because I wanted a sweep. I just wanted them out of there. And you could hear the overnight show, the excitement about them winning the one game. Oh, they're back. They're going to win the whole thing now. It's just so I want them to go away so I can hear the sadness, because I'm mean, I guess.
You know, a little bit, but you know, we get it. You're an old school fan.
No, Colonel Grudges. Yes, I know. Well,
Colonel Grudges, for real.
I will always hate the Knicks. So I just want them to lose.
The NBA playoffs are legit right now, even with two series having one team pushed to the elimination brink in a gentleman's sweep on the docket. The NBA Finals are just going to be that much better. And, of course, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are fantastic as well. Over in the West right now, Edmonton leads Dallas 2-1, minus 165 to win that series. And then over in the East, obviously, Florida leads the Carolina Hurricanes 3-1. They're just a better team. And I said coming into this series, Florida is a better team. That is not talent on paper, a better team. What Carolina has going for them is that twofold. Number one, I think they're a better coached team, and I think there's something to be said for that. And number two, I think I hate to be this guy because I'm not sports cliche guy. In fact, I actively avoid sports cliches if possible. But Carolina's got a special group of dudes, man. Like, they have a chemistry that you can't just make happen. Like, it's chemistry that just has to happen. You got to have the right mix of dudes under the right coach at the right time, playing the right way to get it. And they have that. The problem is, so do the Florida Panthers. And the difference is, Florida's dudes in the locker room and the organic chemistry that they've built is a direct translation to what happens on the ice. On the flip side, Carolina has, as proven in this series, despite the fact that New Jersey couldn't get it out of them, they win that series 4-1. Washington, a team of destiny, as I heard them called by a couple of my hockey buddies on the net. Washington tried to crack the code for the Canes, and they couldn't do it. Carolina wins that series 4-1. Florida has a special group of dudes, too. Florida's got a special group of bros playing hockey, and it translates directly to what it is that they are doing on the ice. And it has been a problem for Carolina so far. They do get the win last night, 3-0. They blank Florida for the first time in this series. What do you want me to say? I mean, they get the mid-game goal about 10 minutes into the second period. They get one. They get a couple of empty netters to make it look a little prettier than a true 1-0 scoreline from last night. The question mark, is that the spark? Is that the thing that is going to change? Is that the thing that is going to bring out the best in Carolina? My answer is I hope. Because even after game 3, remember, going into this series, Rob Brown said, Carolina can win this series. I said this on BetMGM tonight. I said it on this show. I said it on Sean Levine's show on the Infinity Sports Network. I've said it everywhere I've been. Carolina wins this series if and only if they do not give in to the Panthers playing obnoxious ball, playing into the type of hockey that is just driven to aggravate you into making mistakes, giving away power plays. In fact, I said, this team, the Carolina Hurricanes, must give up two or fewer power plays per game. They just cannot do it. You go back to game number one. They gave up, four of them, if I recall, in that game. You go to game number two. They got beat 5-0 in that game. They got absolutely waxed in that game. They gave up three. You go back to game three, 6-2. They got waxed in that game. Same situation. Too many power plays. They allowed the Panthers to go on 4 power plays in that. Now, interestingly enough, Florida did not score on any of them. But I also said it is not about Florida being on the power play and scoring power play goals. In fact, Carolina's penalty kill unit was the most successful penalty kill unit in the playoffs coming into this series. It is more about how a power play, how a penalty kill in the case of the Carolina Hurricanes, how a penalty kill impacts your game. If you go on the kill, what it means is that you've got a group of dudes that go on the kill, but they have to skate extra. They are out there for longer. They have got more miles under the ice. It is exhausting to be on the kill because it is just a ton of stop, start, stop, start, stop, start skating. Explosive skating, pushing off the skates is what wears your legs down. It is not gliding down the ice. It is those first 2 or 3 steps when you are, think about running, right? Where do you get your most tired? When you are pushing off the ground for those first handful of steps. Once you're full stride, the legs just kind of go. It is those first few accelerating steps that wear you down. Think about that, but on skates, so you get 80% of the traction you do when you're running. It's a big deal. Well, I go back to last night. Carolina did give up 4 power plays to Florida, but they were also playing out of raw, unbridled desperation in that game last night. It was win or the season doesn't just end, but ends in the most embarrassing possible fashion. You at least got to get one, right? And it kind of they kind of willed themselves to a win last night. So, with that being said, Carolina cannot come back and win this series. I'm comfortable saying that. Teams do not come back down from 0-3 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just not a thing that happens. Can you make it respectable? Can you win one more? Can you get 2? Can you figure out a way to snag another one back? You get to go Raleigh. You're back in the crib, back in your own barn tomorrow night in front of 10,000 screaming Kaniac's brother. Can you get one back, make it 3-2, and at least make it look respectable? I think so. But then you got to go back down to Sunrise. And you're going to be exhausted because you once again, all the pressure's on you. Because even if you win this game, Florida feels no pressure. They get to go back to Sunrise for game 6 in an elimination game. They get to play in their own barn for game 6. There's no pressure unless they lose 3 consecutive games, which, realistically speaking, isn't going to happen. Even the best team playing the worst team in the Stanley Cup playoffs rarely going to win 3 straight. Not to say it doesn't happen because, again, Carolina's won 2 series back-to-back, 4-1. It is possible. But we're not talking about round one. We're not talking about the quarterfinals. We're talking about the conference finals here. And Florida is too good of a team to think because you escaped. And let's be clear. Scoreline says 3-0. Makes it look like it was not a beatdown. It was not a beatdown. Stankoven got the goal that made it 1-0. Florida then, they just did not press. Oh, no, by the way, on top of all of that, Florida was missing some dudes in this game. Florida was missing 3 guys, Sam Reinhart off of their front line. They were missing Nico Mikkola, who was a second-line guy, and they were missing A.J. Greer, who is a fourth-line forward. Greer has, 2 goals in this series so far? So, yeah, you escaped Florida by the hair of your chinny chin chin, and you did so without them having one of their best goal scorers in Sam Reinhart and two of their best second line and fourth line guys, Nico Mikkola and AJ Greer. Like, desperation mode again back home tomorrow night. But the point here, to circle this back around before we ask what the X is going on, is that if you are tuning in, and we will obviously have, as we did today, quite a bit of college football talk during the offseason. We'll even have the occasional peak offseason segments, like we did back at the start of hour number three, where we asked, is it or is it not acceptable to wear a jersey in non-game scenarios, or two games, but in non-game scenarios? We'll do our peak offseason radio. At some point, I'm sure, the conversation about, you know, what's the next big sports movie coming out? That F1 movie with Brad Pitt is coming out here, I think, in the next couple of days. I'm sure that we'll see it, and we'll give a review, and we'll put it into the ranks of all-time sports movies. Does it compete with Days of Thunder in terms of greatest racing movies? Is it going to make an argument to be in the top 10, top 8, top 5, top 4 sports movies of all time? Like, we'll have all of those super-duper fun conversations peak off season, but ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show is a sports talk show. It is not just a sports talk show. It is an all the sports talk show. So, in 3 weeks, when baseball comes to its conclusion, in 3 weeks, when hockey comes to its conclusion.
Baseball won't be coming to.
Sorry, basketball. In 3 weeks, when the NBA comes to its conclusion, when the Stanley Cup playoffs comes to its conclusion, when all of these sports come to their conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking baseball, because the Rob Brown Show is not just a sports talk show. It's an all the sports talk show.
Yeah, baseball is like going to school. You get a couple months off. And then you're right back there. It's a very long season. All right, the first thing that's Xing today is Macron.
Macron. So there is a controversy that's not really a controversy, but I guess it kind of is to me. Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, yesterday getting off of an airplane with his wife, who, and this part is weird, was a 39-year-old school teacher when she met him when he was 15. They're now married now. Hey. Consenting adults, do what you want to do. Am I right? Even though he was 15 when they met? Any hoodles, the door to France's Air Force One, which I believe is called Les Air Force One.
I believe
sorry,
that.
Les Air Force U.
I believe that is correct, yes.
The door opened, and the wife of French President Emmanuel Macron was seen placing her hand on the face of the President of France and pushing away. And there's a controversy of, did she slap him? Was she pushing him disrespectfully? Was it some sort of domestic abuse? Or was this just a poorly timed visit view of a gag between husband and wife? My wife loves nothing more than affectionately coming up behind me and poking her fingers into my rib cage because she knows it makes me jump like I've just seen Freddy Krueger every bleeping time. And she's done it before, and people are like, whoa, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's fine. It's a joke. It's a gimmick, whatever.
Your overreaction is why they're asking, what are you doing?
Right. For sure.
You look like you're going to die when you get jump scared.
For sure, yeah, without a doubt. But all of that being said, there's like a controversy over it, because men can absolutely be victims of domestic violence too. And that's a big conversation that's going on right now.
I hope it was just a joke between the two, but it doesn't look like it.
It did not look like it was not a slap. I will say
no. It was definitely a put the hand on the face and shove away. Thing.
But was it a push? Put a hand on the face and shove away because hey, shut up, or because they were just a husband and wife in a moment that they thought was candid and away from the cameras, and they happened to be on camera.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
No, we won't, because they'll both come out and say, "Oh, we were just goofing off, and it was bad timing."
All right, the next thing to Xing is Dort.
Dort. So first off, I saw the headline this morning because our boy Dort was a defensive wizard last night. Lugans Dort had a headline on ESPN this morning that said Dorcher chamber.
Yes.
And I thought that was very solid, to be honest with you.
Yes, that was a good job.
Defensive lockdown last night on Ant-Man Edwards. Anthony Edwards had, I think, no points in the opening quarter of play last night, which, of course, led to the Thunder taking a two-point win over the Timberwolves and bumping the Wolves to within one game of elimination. I'm telling you, the Thunder and the Pacers right now are the two most fun teams to watch in the NBA. At this point, as much as I was pulling for the Thunder to get bounced in this round, because I really like the Wolves under Ant-Man and Rudy Gobert, two most fun teams to watch are Oklahoma City and
Minnesota.
Yeah. Sorry, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
The Sirs. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Finally, Mark Ruffalo is X-ing.
He's got a new movie coming out, doesn't he? Well, where he's not the Hulk?
The rumor is he's going to be in Spider-Man.
I'm in. I think we're at a point now where we are going to have to start seeing some more crossovers, because they got some big projects next up on the line. Whatever. We're like 2 weeks from the Fantastic Four, and it's all I care about. And Superman. They're all I care about. I'm kind of getting excited about Superman, I'm not going to lie. I think they might have got this one right. Well done, James Gunn. I'll save that. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, you got bad taste in radio. Come back tomorrow, and we'll do it all over again, but better, on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.